Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry is always alongside. Take you to 3. Hand it off to our great friend Phil Benatti, his fine show behind the bench. Take you to 6. This is, as we're just talking to Horry, just a great time of the year because beginning tonight, we have all 4 of the major professional sports underway. No more preseason stuff. The NBA starts real tonight. Hockey, of course, started last week. NFL in full swing, and we head to the World Series on Friday with the Dodgers and the Jays. So all 4 underway, and, of course, the great college season also in full swing right now. So if you're a sports fan, there's nothing better than this right now. And I'll tell you all about the schedule that includes the Lakers and Warriors tonight a little bit later on, scheduled for both 790 and 1430, courtesy of our buddy Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. We'll tell you more about the great fundraising Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering a little bit later in the show. Jackson with me, as always, on a Tuesday, and we will go over Fresno State, San Diego State, and the matchups that we're looking for. And, Curtis, I know you had your email where you said, can the crew, meaning Jackson too, very, very alliterative there, pal, can you and Jackson go over everything we're going to see on Saturday? Sure, the entirety of everything we're going to see, Curtis, will take care of it in the time we have today. We will at least scratch the surface in just a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Mentioned the great sports right now underway on television, in person, you name it. Anytime you have a chance to pick up some KFC, this is the perfect time of the year. Anytime is the perfect time. But we want to again thank the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for being part of the solution in the Valley. Great support for all athletics across this great valley of ours. And right now, the special deal going on is a throwback to the late 90s, and that is everything there on the menu with the classic honey barbecue flavor front and center. That means the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. Again, they have special deals at KFC, the 2, 3, and 4-piece offerings, everything with the original honey barbecue right now, which is sweet, savory, and back at least for the month of October. So don't wait. Stop on in at the KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up whatever you can, and keep in mind they still have the other great deals going on, including the Tuesday $10 8-piece bucket or tenders offer. It's been there for a while. And Wednesday, the $5.99 country fried steak meal. Terrific food at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And when you stop in, pick up a bucket or two and tell them thanks for everything they do for athletics in the Valley. And we certainly are very appreciative that they are part of everything we do here at 1430 and 790 for ESPN Radio for the Valley. Now, as far as the other reminders, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to bring you the weather. Again, local guys, been in NorCal in Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I'm ahead of him to do work, even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and very timely. Give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or go to the web at leesair.com for more information and schedule an appointment. Also, they enable us to bring guests like our de facto co-host Jackson Moore up, which we will do momentarily, on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. And Phil, in addition to his guests, can also take callers from the general public during his show. So mark it down, Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, this is why we love fall in Fresno, California, and throughout the valley. 83 today, a low of 60, and then tomorrow a storm starts to come in from the south, which is a little unusual. Most of the storms come from the north. This one isn't carrying much of a punch, at most a quarter inch of rain, mainly sprinkles for most of the valley floor, but we're going to fall to a low of 54 and a high of just 70, so we're going to go down 13 degrees as far as the high goes for tomorrow, and we'll see. The great line was maybe just enough rain so you have to go and wash your car again. But 83 today, 70 tomorrow, clears up partly cloudy and 73 Thursday, 75 Friday, and a second storm comes in. And this is the one that may impact the Fresno State game on Saturday. There are differences of opinion about this. 73 is going to be the high, so it's perfect weather-wise as far as the high temperature goes on Saturday for the 12:30 start. Some say that do this for a living that we're going to see showers at some point earlier in the day. Others say if we see them at all, it'll be to the north, and if you see them here in the center part of the valley, it'll probably be later in the evening. Whatever the case may be, it will be a pleasant day temperature-wise, and I hope people do go out, particularly if you have tickets already and there's only a couple thousand left, that they will actually show for the game. It has been problematic in the past with these earlier starts with people actually coming out. Really important that you're there, and with the temperature being what it's going to be at 73, it should be a really good day, and hopefully the rains will hold off. And then a few more shower chances on Sunday in the 69. Then we clear up mostly sunny and 70 on Monday. So overall, good forecast. We'll see what happens as far as sprinkles tomorrow and what may or may not happen impacting the game on Saturday. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, more information, leesair.com on the web, or 825-5337-825-LEES. And then finally, we want to mention our great friend Joe Cruz in his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe has been a booster for three-plus decades at Fresno State and is celebrating the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business. Stop by and see him at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Again, this business features pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything you need from an industrial standpoint. If you're someone working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, a tanker delivery person, working at a dairy, anybody who deals with a valve on a day-to-day basis, if that valve goes down, your business can go crashing down in a big hurry. And not only do you have Superior Components there in-house at Joe's business, but you have Joe there and Gabe, and they have the family-friendly approach to this. You stop in and see them or give them a call, tell them what the issues are, and if they can keep you up and running, if you're just now having problems, they'll keep you straight ahead with your business without any glitch at all. If you've already gone down business-wise, they'll get you back up in a big hurry. Tell them what you need, then analyze it on a same-day basis, an estimate, and start right away to fix your problems. And if you have a little bit of time after Joe addresses what he can do for your business, he will tell you what he has done for Fresno State fundraising-wise. And as we talk every day, the best way to go about it right now is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. Keep in mind now the NIL monies and everything under the aegis of Fresno State alone, which is a really good idea that was approved in July, and most every school now is taking control of this, and that was something that was already an issue. So that's at least one step toward the process of getting this thing solved, and Fresno State has already taken the proper steps. If you go to GoBulldogs.com and click on that donate link at the top, it'll take you to different areas of donation. Bulldog Foundation .org, celebrating 75th anniversary right now. They're there for scholarships. More information, Bulldog membership at bdf.org. Check that out. Also, you have got, at the same time, the major giving societies. The Green V Society has a link. So does the Myers Champion Circle. And then under ways to give, the delineation for methods of support, explaining what you can do. And then part of that, you have the Valley Co-op, which is so important. We saw what Jamie DeLacerta has been able to do, what Vance Wahlberg has done for his team. Valley Co-op, check that link out. And then under sports clubs, we talk every day. That enables you to put your money directly to the sport you want. Quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball, closing in on the season now for both the men's and women's teams. Jack will be with me tomorrow. We'll also preview a little bit of the NBA tomorrow per some of the emails that have come in. But Jack would love to see more members for the Timeout Club for Men's Basketball. He said you can give him a call on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FurtyJack at AOL.com if you want to hit him up with an email. You also have links for other men's and women's sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball. It's all there under ways to give. And then finally, there's one more link there, and that is the link for more information. Click on that, and it'll tell you about tickets and parking for all events on campus. Everything, again, funnels toward NIL at Fresno State like everywhere else. Any idea you have for that, a donation or a sponsorship idea, make sure you contact people at Fresno State through GoBulldogs.com. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz enabling us the time to tell you how to give to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. We'll go over the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little later. Thanks, of course, to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We'll bring up Jackson Moore momentarily on the Lee's Air Hotline. And thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kermit. All that having been said, we turn to our de facto co-host, the king of all media, the hardest working man in show business. That's right, the James Brown of the Bark Board. There's a reference from the 60s for old guys like me. It's Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. I'm pumped up. I'm just seeing this video of Fresno State and San Diego State fighting it out when I was 0 years old in 1992. And I'm getting ready to see these rivals go at it this weekend.
Yeah, see, what's interesting is you were in diapers, and so was I at that time, but I happen to be in my mid-30s. That's a problem we'll have to bring up off-air. So you're checking out what brawls between Fresno State and San Diego State? Is that what you're doing? I'm just wondering.
I was not aware of this game. There was helmets swinging and everything.
Yes, I'm well aware of that game because, again, I was in my mid-30s at the time, so... That's right. At some point, I was actually in my mid-30s, Jackson. It's hard to believe, and I barely remember it myself. Yeah, there have been a few instances where Fresno State and San Diego State have not gotten along, believe it or not. You know, it might have something to do with the fact that every time the Bulldogs catch them conference-wise, the Aztecs would scurry off to another conference. So, you know, they go CC2A to PC2A, and every time you turn around, San Diego State's jumping off to the WAC. Fresno State catches them. They bowl to the Mountain West, Fresno State. Finally, the Bulldogs have caught them, and they can't get away this time, Jackson, because they're both going to the Pac next year, unless you know something I don't, okay? So, you don't think that Brett Yormark has made a phone call. I know this. He hasn't made a phone call to San Diego State unless Yormark wants to call up and say, bleep you, because that's exactly what he said about San Diego State in the way that their bureaucratic structure handled the potential move to the Big 12. I mean, if you wanted to see Brett Yormark's face turn red, bring up San Diego State. Because he was so angry about the way their university president and their marketers handled their desire to get in the Big 12 that I think he would have taken the Guam Islanders before he would have taken San Diego State. As it turns out right now, it doesn't make any difference because they're going to be together and the Love Fest will continue this Saturday. You excited about this one on Saturday?
I am. You know, I'm a bit concerned about the state of the Bulldogs after the last time we saw them, but 12:30 kickoff should be interesting. The blackout uniforms, Coach Tedford being honored at halftime. It's funny, too, because those all kind of seem like things that would get the fans excited, but talking to the players today, they're excited about all that same stuff, too, and so should be a fun one on Saturday. And just hopefully the product on the field is equally as fun.
Well, we're going to address Curtis's email. He wants to, you know, get the inside scoop, everything you need to know in the next 25 minutes, Jackson, which, as you know, is so easily done, right? But, look, the one thing we know for sure, and I was talking to Paul about it yesterday, and certainly you and I had all last week to talk about it coming off the bye week, or at least headed to the bye week coming off that game we've all tried to forget, electroshock to forget about what happened in Fort Collins the Friday prior. But you know this, Jackson, if you win the game, both teams have the same point of view. If you win the game, you are in great shape to, at the very least, be that second team in. So you get into the title game for the Mountain West in the final year of this configuration. if you lose the game, you're in desperate trouble. You're on life support, and particularly for Fresno State, having lost to Colorado State, if you were to lose Saturday, well, you would have a mathematical chance. You would be two games back, and you would have lost the tiebreaker to San Diego State. And when you go to Boise the next week, you're hanging by a thread. So basically everything for the Bulldog season in particular, but in large measure the Aztec season as well, is hanging on this game. And, you know, Curtis asked about what we expect. Jackson, a couple things I'll share with you, and you can go ahead and respond to them yourself. I expect, number one, the defense for Fresno State to be back to what it was prior to the Colorado State game. Matt Entz made reference, as you're well aware, that maybe a little bit too much press clipping reading going on. Maybe the defense wasn't quite focused. I think the guys, even though they're going to be without Thunderbird, evidently, I think the guys will be ready defensively. I think they will keep Fresno State in the game. That having been said, the bottom line, Jackson, is what you and I know and everybody knows. We know what San Diego State is going to do. Defensively, the Aztecs are going to come in and they are going to say, as everybody else has, you're not going to run on us. We are not going to allow that. We know you want Luke and Donaldson and Ramirez to dominate this thing. We're not going to let you do it. We're going to load the box, and we are going to dare you to throw, and we're banking on the fact that you're not going to take the top off the defense, so you're going to have to throw short and intermediate passes, which means not only your wide receiver is going to have to be open, your tight ends, and out of the backfield. We've seen both Luke and Donaldson, if they can catch the ball in stride, be great receivers. But San Diego State, I'm sure, is going to say, you know what? We're banking on the fact that if we keep it all in front of us and we don't let you run it, somewhere along the way, your offense is going to make a mistake, either a turnover or you're going to get behind the chains because of a sack or a penalty, and that we will close the field down on you if you move it between the 20s or 30s. We're going to either take it from you, or at worst, we're going to give up threes, and the way our offense is going, we're going to score enough to beat you. Jackson, is there any doubt in your mind that that is the approach of the Aztec defense going into this game?
Yeah, no doubt for me. So Fresno State's had a bye week and extra time to try to scheme something up and figure it out and potentially make some changes. We'll see exactly what they do on Saturday. Sounds like no change at quarterback, but I got to feel like the leash is a little bit shorter there. I think we might see some different looks and some different tactics to try to get teams out of that, because I think what we've learned the last couple of games, they just don't quite have, well, there's some strength in the running game. There's just not enough there to simply overpower teams when they load up the box. This team's just not there right now. So they got to be more balanced and get teams out of that. And on one side, it feels like a huge sigh of relief that you don't have to face this 3-3-5 defense anymore. San Diego State's new staff has really turned everything upside down schematically over there for the Aztecs. But then you look at the stats, and I mean, they're number one in basically everything with defensive categories in the Mountain West. They're being very stingy. They haven't given up much at all. They shut out a Cal team that's been fairly potent on offense. It feels like there should be a tough challenge no matter what they do defensively, whether they load the box or they could probably play straight up, and it might be tough to move the ball against this team. So it's going to be a tough one. We'll see if the Bulldogs can maybe catch them off guard with their offense, or if it's a little more of the same.
Well, both teams have had plenty of time to prepare for this game, so Fresno State knows what's coming. And we brought this example up so many times, but one more time it's applicable, Jackson. Right before the 49er dynastic times beginning in 1981, they had Steve DeBerg at quarterback. DeBerg was a San Jose State grad, and he could throw a really good pass, okay? He could spin it nice, and he would make three or four or five really good throws on a drive, and then he would leave you scratching your head about his head-scratching moves, where he would throw an out pattern for no particular reason to the other team, okay? And so all it did was erase the drive, and what it did, it killed time, but then you turn around, the other team had the ball, and sometimes they took it back for six, or they had great field position. When Montana came in, the same offense, basically, as Walsh transitioned that West Coast offense that started with Sid Gilman back in San Diego, and the difference was Montana would take the same approach, but he wouldn't make the mistake. So you had guys like Fritz Schirmer, who was the defensive coordinator of the Rams, have great success with the kind of approach I was talking about San Diego State had, with everybody but Joe Montana, who they would zone him up, and he would just take you down the field 8 and 10 yards at a time, and before you knew it, across in the goal line, and you'd say, how are we going to stop this guy? I would love to say that Fresno State had that quarterback on their roster who can, for a certainty, take them downfield and not make mistakes. So far, Warner has not been that guy. He has been the guy that we saw at Rice and Temple, which at times he looks very good, but then he makes the critical mistake and makes it difficult. Conklin, we know, is a very mercurial quarterback. We saw him with Sac State. He can make the big plays. He can take the top off the defense. He can scare the daylights out of you. But the question, talking about defensively, but the question is he a guy that can avoid the forced pass at the wrong time? So I guess what I'm asking, Jackson, is the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Some would argue right now you got to fix it. Others would say there's nobody else on the roster that for sure can do this. What is your attitude right now? Do you say you stay with the known, meaning EJ, or do you say that even though you're not sure about ball security with Conklin, that his upside is such that you'd like to see him out there? What is your opinion? And I'm not talking that you're saying anything that Matt Entz has said to you, but how do you feel about it going into a must-win game right now?
Yeah, it's a challenging one, and my take's a little nuanced. I think looking back on the season to this point, probably outside of the Kansas game, you figured if the Bulldogs could run the ball well and play good defense, as long as E.J. Warner managed the game and didn't make too many mistakes, they'd probably win. And that happened 5 games, and it didn't happen against Colorado State. I don't think quarterback play is the reason they lost to Colorado State or Kansas. Those games just turned out to be so lopsided that I don't think it really mattered who was that quarterback. It could have helped if they had a better performance there, but probably not enough to overcome the margins. And, you know, poor performance at quarterback in those a couple of those 5 wins, the 3 close ones, could have really cost them a game. And he was able to at least lead the way and get them Bulldogs W's in those games. But when I look at San Diego State and Boise State, and especially the way the Bulldogs have kind of limped offensively to this point, I just don't really see them being capable of playing good enough defense and running the ball well enough to bank on that to beat San Diego State and Boise State. And from that, you know, I think they do need a little bit of juice at quarterback that they haven't had this season. And really your only shot right now would be to go with Carson Conklin. At the same time, you're rolling the dice on your biggest game, one or two biggest games of the season with a guy that's played, what, one or two series this season, which doesn't sound like the smartest idea either. I know at least Coach Entz told us going into this week that Warner was going to start, but I don't fault him for that, but I do think that they need to be ready to go to plan B in a way that they weren't against Colorado State. I know this team really can't dig out of big deficits or early deficits the way they're currently constructed, so if they do fall behind a score too early, I think they need to make a change. And if they're able to go blow for blow with the Aztecs, I think they can rely on Warner to try to win in that fashion. Again, I don't feel overly confident that they're going to be able to do that, but the Las Vegas oddsmakers do have this game as a 3-point spread. So maybe that does turn out to be exactly what this game is, and the Bulldogs do grit out another gritty type of victory in this one with Warner. But if they can't sustain that style of play, I think they need to get a little more creative than they've been.
Well, I believe sincerely we're going to go back to what we've seen for most of this year. And admittedly now it is a 5-2 year so far, but as we've talked over and over again, 3 of those games could have easily gone the other way. Bulldogs' credit is that they were able to get it done when they had to. And I think we're going to look at a game that is going to be in the last 5 minutes deciding things. I believe that the defense for Fresno State will keep the Bulldogs close enough down the stretch. And, you know, to bring up the iconic Rick Pitino line when he was coaching the Celtics, Larry Bird ain't walking through that door. Kevin McHale ain't walking through that door. Marcus McMarion may walk through the door there at Fresno State, but he's not going to be suited up, okay? Bulldogs do not have the kind of quarterback like McMarion was, where you put him out there and you know he wasn't going to make the mistake. You also knew if you needed 15, he would pull it down and get it for you, and that's why he had such great success for a couple of years. The thing that I'm confused about, Jackson, and I understand why Matt Entz is doing what he's doing, because he doesn't want to change horses right now unless he has to, but normally if you have a game manager, and again, that can be perceived as a negative. I'm not using it in that context. If you have someone who isn't the most dynamic quarterback but doesn't make a lot of mistakes, even if your offense is maybe not running on all cylinders, you say, if it's serviceable enough to keep us in games, that's what I stay with before I take the higher upside but higher risk option, which would be Conklin. However, when your quote-unquote game manager is also turning the football over at bad times, it's hard for me to see where you're not looking to the bullpen, right? We were just talking about it yesterday, going to Game 7 last night in Toronto. You may have somebody on the mound that you really wanted there, but if he's walking people early, you got to come and get him because it's Game 7. You don't have a tomorrow. Fresno State does not have a tomorrow. So if everything Matt has done so far has been to say, for this year, my guy is E.J. Warner, does it mandatorily then have to change if E.J. gets off to a bad start? Do you have any choice, knowing that your season, your stated goals to play for a Mountain West title, goes out the window if you lose? Do you really have to have a quick hook right now?
I think you do. Again, the Colorado State game just snowballed on the Bulldogs, and if they get into a situation like that against the San Diego State team, that's red hot. I mean, it's theoretically possible they could come in and start strong and get a one or two score lead early in this. I just don't see the Bulldog offense, as we've seen it constructed the past couple of weeks, being able to survive that. They've been able to stay on, when they have been able to stay on schedule, they've been playing winning football. They haven't been overly explosive by any means, but they've been complimentary and they've gotten the job done. But it's not, it just feels like it's a small margin for error for things to kind of go off the rails. So I think they need to be prepared to go to the next plan. But if it is close, you know, if they can fundamentally play good defense and run the ball fairly well and do enough through the passing game, I'm not overly concerned about the mistakes. I know 10 touchdowns to 9 picks is pretty, but again, those 5 of the 9 picks came in the two lopsided losses where I don't think they were overly consequential. He's only got 2 picks in the 3 close games that were really where the margin was thin, where he had to be pretty efficient, and the mistakes didn't cost the Bulldogs in those games. So you imagine, you know, it's been kind of random. It could happen, but doesn't seem like it's, for me at least, an issue that is going to potentially cost the Bulldogs 2 or 3 picks that would lose a close game. It's kind of when the game seems to get away from Fresno State where these things seem to multiply. And if they're already on that route anyway, I think they should make that swap before it even has a chance to happen.
Now we'll go over more particulars on Thursday, but a couple of things here. One, I referenced the Thunderbird situation. It's not definite that he's out, but if he is, how big a loss is that for Fresno State? Kajabi, I'm sure, is going to get the opportunity, but a tremendous blow to this team. I know it's a blow, but it's not Fred Warner-like, right?
You know, on paper, it's rather massive. I mean, you've got Jaden Pearson and Thunderbird, and even Thunderbird didn't have much experience coming into the season, but at least he was an older guy. That's really your only two. You had Tim Thomas, who had been developing for a long time, but he also hadn't played much, and now he's not on the roster either. So you go from two older transfers to two redshirt freshmen, albeit very talented redshirt freshmen in Titus Kajabi and Logan Stute, but guys that haven't played a whole lot of D1 college football yet. There's a risk of a big drop-off. But what we saw against Colorado State was that Kajabi played pretty darn well. The defense was hot in the third quarter when he came in, and he did his job, didn't make mistakes. So it might not be as big of a concern as it would have appeared on paper based off what he's done and his opportunities this season. And I know he's probably the biggest thing is looking further in the depth. You know, now you're one more injury away from really, really being down to like two linebackers you can count on. So hopefully Thunderbird's not out for too long, just simply from a depth perspective.
You bring up what happened later in that the Colorado State game, and not talking about the end of the game, but back to the Bulldogs down 25, the defense really played well to start the second half, and as we've talked, Jackson, with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, Bulldogs had that fourth down, and I've said this a number of times since that particular Friday, and that is I had no problem with them going for it. I just wish they would have lined up and gone for it traditionally, not try to fool anybody. They were right there back in the game with plenty of time. So do you say that despite the fact the defense came out flat, that what you saw through most of the second half, and I'm not talking about toward the very end of the game where it had gotten away again, but during that stretch where the Bulldogs climbed back in, the defense gathered it back up. Do you believe that is the same defense we're going to see from the kick on Saturday afternoon?
I sure hope so. And, you know, they have been on fire from what, Southern to Hawaii to Nevada, outside of the kind of the end of the Wolfpack game. They had not given up much of anything on the defensive side of the ball. So it was just bizarre how flat they came out. I know Coach Hint said he felt structurally they were doing what they were supposed to do against the Rams, but just had way too many missed tackles. That first big touchdown allowed came off of some missed tackles. So that was his biggest gripe with what the defense did there.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the Rams played about 30 minutes of football without a first down on offense. That scoop and score was in that series of plays, so they still scored a touchdown, and that was a critical swing. But the offense, I mean, wasn't doing much of anything against Fresno State's defense there for a while. So you see the potential that they can bring. I think when you get into that style of game, if you have a big lead, you can be a little more susceptible to being pushed around a little bit like that when you're trying to maybe just sit on it and be a little more conservative. But I do think the Bulldogs, between what they did against Hawaii and Nevada and for about half of the Colorado State game, when you look around the Mountain West, there's not many teams playing good defense. San Diego State's one of the very few. If the Bulldogs can harness that the rest of the way, it could be a difference maker against a lot of teams, especially in the back stretch of the season. Bulldogs are going to play three teams that are not playing much defense right now. I've been pretty effective on offense, so that could be a difference maker for the Bulldogs if they can make sure they deal with the tackling issues.
Now, are you of the same mindset that even though mathematically you're still alive, if you lose this game for all intents and purposes, your hopes are dashed from being in that final two if you lose on Saturday?
Most likely, yeah. Especially, as you mentioned, you're hanging on by a thread, and then you got to go to the blue turf. That's not a great proposition either. So, you know, I would hope no matter what happens on Saturday, this team and program will be pumped up to go to Boise State and play that one and give them the best shot. But they really got to get these two, and then they really can't afford to drop the next three either if they want to ensure themselves a spot in the championship game. That's just what you do to yourself when you lose early in conference play with no divisions, unfortunately.
You and I were talking last week. It's one of the galling things about the loss to Colorado State. And, of course, they were hammered pretty good by Hawaii, and Jay Norvell can tell you about that because he's got the Will Work for Food sign out now. I'm sure he's not going to be in line for government cheese, trust me, okay? Doesn't quite have the Franklin buyout, but I think he's doing okay. But the point is, we had talked about the most galling thing is to beat somebody head-to-head, but because of a previous loss somewhere, and then you get tripped up, like you say, at Boise State, and you find yourself with the tiebreaker over somebody, but you end up a game behind them. That could happen to Fresno State by winning this game and then having San Diego State go undefeated the rest of the way, but the Aztecs still have to play Boise State. So I would purport, Jackson, that if you win this game, as much as a loss is a killer, if you win the game, given the rest of your schedule, independent of the trip to Boise, you are in still in pretty good shape. Even if you lose on the Smurf turf, I think the odds are you can still get in there as the number two team if you win this Saturday, correct?
Yeah, that would certainly help the case of getting the 6-2. Also, if you look at those last three games, and they are certainly winnable and they're certainly losable too. I think right now in the conference, there's just a whole lot of parity. So even counting on 4 out of 5 wins, I think is a decently tall task for especially a Fresno State team that did what we saw in their last outing. So you got to be really hot, I think, even to win 4 out of 5 and then cross your fingers that you sneak in there.
Well, it's everything this Saturday, and that's the focus, period. But really, even realistically, if you want to project, you can't project any positivity that doesn't include a win Saturday. Two other questions, and we'll get to more with Jackson on Thursday. One is about the crowd. I know there's only a couple thousand tickets remaining, but Jackson, we have seen in the past when the Bulldogs play early, and admittedly it's not that often, that you have people that had tickets already who don't show up. If you have 40,000 tickets sold, for instance, do you anticipate the vast majority are going to show, or are we going to look around and say, where did those 5,000 or 6,000 people go? Do they decide just not to show up? What's your feeling about this with the early start? And I wouldn't be saying this for 4 o'clock. I'm just saying for 12:30, there are a lot of people, I think, that have other commitments that may intend to go, but by the time the day gets there, they find out, you know what, I've got to go to soccer, I got to do this, and I'll go home and just catch it on TV, and that's that. I mean, are you confident people are actually going to show? And I'm not talking about the weather issue. Are they going to understand that Fresno State needs those people in the stands making noise?
Yeah, I posed the question out there, what would you prefer, 12:30 or 4? And it was like 80 to 90% 4 o'clock. Obviously, it's out of Fresno State's hands. But it is what it is at this point, and it's probably going to impact some people. I think they'll probably still get to 40,000, if not just selling it out as far as tickets sold. But there's certainly going to be, I would assume, a lot of people, as you mentioned, that have other commitments, and they'll make it out, and probably won't look anywhere near a sellout, especially during the daytime when you can actually look up and not be blinded by the lights and see all the empty seats potentially. I know the last time there was a true 12:30 game was when ranked Boise State came to town in 2017, and that was a crowd of 31,000. That was still when Fresno State was recovering from the Truer years, and most of the crowds were that size anyway, so it didn't necessarily feel like it impacted the numbers in that particular season. But we do know that that last 5,000 to 10,000 can be a bit of a struggle depending on the situation, and it's one of those situations. But if you can physically be there, there's a whole lot of reason to be there. It's a huge game. It's a rivalry. Oil can. The Bulldogs are trying to get back. The blackout should be fun, even during the daylight. I know the players are excited about wearing those uniforms. You got the Coach Tedford ceremony. There's every reason possible away from the start time for Bulldog fans to be there. And so hopefully as many people show up as possible.
And you would think reason enough is San Diego State and the import, but of the game itself. But you are right. Everything else certainly would compel you to go out. And as we have talked for how many years in a row, it's only 6 times a year that you have home date. So particularly if you're already someone with tickets, make sure you're there. And if you're not going to get there, then give them to somebody else. And it's really important because this Aztec team is playing well. We'll go over specifics on Thursday, but last question, just in a general sense, San Diego State was not supposed to be this good, and at the start of the year it didn't look like they would be. Now if you want to do the very daunting comparative score routine, the Nevada game is not good news for Fresno State, right? Because Nevada had a shot to win here on the road, and yet against San Diego State a week ago past Saturday, they were clubbed 44-3 on their home field. I would assume you don't believe there's that wide disparity between these two teams comparing them in the Nevada game, correct?
And if you think that's bad, compare the Colorado State games, because those also occurred in
that's
the game
true.
Between these two teams. So it doesn't look pretty as far as comparative scores, but I just cling a little bit to that betting spread on this game that cooler heads prevail, that this should be a tight one, that the Bulldogs will bounce back, and that San Diego State might return more to the mean against a more competitive team here, hopefully, the Bulldogs prove to be. They have a new staff, and in their second year, they turned the schemes upside down, offense and defense, and they just didn't quite get there last season, and now they're really full steam ahead with their spread offense and their 4-2-5 defense. So they're coming in with a different look than we're used to, and they're red hot. Hopefully the Bulldogs can cool them down.
Yeah, it's going to be a different look from what we've seen, and Denegal and Napier are a great combination, and we'll talk more about that on Thursday. Last thing for you today, the old running gag between Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve, Steve McLaughlin, who played at Stanford and is the producer for SVP with the lead sports center at ESPN, who's always open the tight end because, of course, Steve played tight end at Stanford. Tight end has been open for Fresno State, Jackson. The running backs out of the backfield, both Luke and Donaldson, have been factors when they've been able to catch the ball in stride, out in the flat. Those have been open. Are they going to be open with the style of defense that San Diego State's going to play? Is that where the Bulldog fate is really going to be decided, even more than the wide receivers themselves, who have had trouble getting separation for a lot of this year?
I think the key may be if Ezekiel Abbott can go in this one. I think the Bulldogs right. are missing sorely the last game and a half. But you got Freeman, Abbott, and now Richie Anderson. The three of them have all looked really good at different times. If you can get all three of those targets on the same page, it might open things up and neutralize some of the issues that opposing defenses have given them. So I think you just need everything to kind of fall into line here.
We'll talk more about it on Thursday again. On the board, we still have 30% off. Where are we at?
Yeah, it's 30% off a year to sign up for the VIP. And got intel from practice today. It was our first look at the teams in Colorado State. So hope people sign up and take advantage.
So I'll let you go. Gut feeling early in the week. You feel good about this one for Fresno State, or a great consternation, or somewhere in between?
Yeah, it's hard not to play the comparative score games, and it's not as bad as it can look on paper the last couple of weeks, but I just got to think Fresno State's going to bounce back here and put up a fight, and we'll see if it's enough, because even this Bulldog team at their A game, it might be a tough challenge against San Diego State the way they're looking right now.
Well, we keep talking about the old Jim Sweeney line, the games to remember played in November. Well, this time, this game in October is critically important. It is probably your season in conference, and that's not an overstatement. Jackson, appreciate it. Talk to you on Thursday, my friend. Take care.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. The Tactical Host, Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Get the sub if you can. It's well worth it. Take a break. Tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. And then the long, and I do mean long, and torturous road. The NBA starts tonight with the Lakers and the Warriors. Tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52. A few minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phyllis. Outstanding show. Behind the Bench, take you to 6 o'clock. Tell you all about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And we commend Ed and everybody there at Precision for the great work they do on campus, benefiting the Lyles College of Engineering, and a proud graduate of Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. And again, the goal of all the fundraising to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and a lot of those people that graduate from the Lyles College of Engineering end up working for it at Precision. So we thank them every day for their sponsorship and for allowing us the time to tell you about the upcoming schedule. For us tonight, Lakers and Warriors, NBA season starting. By the way, it's back to NBC for the first time in a long time since the heyday of the Bulls and Michael Jordan. So it's NBC and Peacock tonight, and that'll be a 7 o'clock part of the opening doubleheader. For us, a 6:45 pre from the Laker Network on 1430, which means John Ireland and Michael Thompson. And so stay tuned for that. LeBron is out for about 3 or 4 weeks, but they'll get started at the Crypt tonight, and it's going to be a long, winding road all the way to June, particularly in the brutal, and I do mean brutal, Western Conference of the NBA. But it's good to get it started. Stay tuned for that. And over on 790 in about a half hour at 3:30, the Sharks get started with the pregame. They are on the island to play the Islanders tonight. Also, keep in mind, We have the NFL week coming up beginning on Thursday. That'll be the Vikings and the Chargers. That'll get us started. And, of course, I mentioned yesterday the Rams and Raiders have a bye. The 49ers are in Houston. So the Texans losing last night late in Seattle have to fly all the way back home. 49ers winning on Sunday night will be waiting for them. They may get there before. Actually, they won't because 49ers won't fly out until Friday. But in theory, they could be there already. It's an early start for us, 10 a.m. our time for the 49ers and the Texans on Sunday. Of course, the World Series gets started on Friday. I know everybody in Seattle is bummed, and so are Dodger fans because they lost a chance to have home field. They'll open in Toronto. Again, that series will go Friday, Saturday in Toronto. Travel day Sunday because Fox does not want to mess with animation domination. Nobody messes with the Simpsons on a Sunday night. So Fox says, we love the World Series, but we're not going to preempt the cartoons, okay? So it's Friday, Saturday in Toronto, travel day Sunday, and then in L.A., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday if necessary, and then a travel day if it's still going, and again, Friday, Saturday of the following week for potential games 6 or 7. We'll have all of them for you between 14:30 and 7:90. The other reminder, Friday night, lights, great matchup that Phil and Paul will have, and I'm guessing Pat Hill will be back with them this Friday. Phil can tell you about that as Clovis is at Collegian to play centrally. Should be a great matchup at 7 o'clock at Collegian on Friday. Other reminders here, Phil 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with Buddy Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Great conversation of Phil's show. You can reach Phil, by the way, on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Some good eats as well. Stop by El Paso across from River Park on Thursdays 3 to 6. Paul Metters has two fine shows on Wednesday. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on our sister station, the Deuce 790. That is from 6 to 7. Also keep in mind, we'll have the Fresno Pacific, Fresno State basketball game, the Fresno Pacific broadcast on the 3rd. So that's coming up as basketball gets started. That'll be on 790. Also, Paul has a fine show on Saturday mornings, been running for a long time. Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First String Sports on 1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net. TDAD1, T-D-A-D-1, at att.net. First names are fine. Everything with the station, 1430, ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. And also keep in mind, every Monday, Monday Night Football for us means Major Wager Monday. That means Carter and the gang out at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Great conversation, great food, big screen TVs. Check it out. We had our final doubleheader of the Monday night year this last Monday, yesterday, but still great matchups the rest of the way. So stop by and see everybody there. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, on Mondays right around 5 o'clock. All right, final reminders are the thank yous that go out first to everybody at KFC. One more time, if you're planning a late lunch or an early dinner, keep in mind the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman right now have the throwback to the late 90s. Oh, I wish we were back in the late 90s because I was younger and could eat whatever I want, and it would be KFC then. It's still KFC now for me. The original honey barbecue offerings right now, that honey barbecue flavor on everything. At the moment, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, the crispy golden pieces you know and love. 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meal deals there at your local KFCs. Stop by, pick it up while they have the great original honey barbecue flavoring, the sweet, savory, and back in the game flavoring all the way through October. Check it out at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also, thank yous go out to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and, of course, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Jackson. Thanks to Jorge. Phil is coming up for 3 hours. Then the Lakers and the Warriors. Sharks get started the half hour on 790. We're back with Jack Furtig tomorrow to talk basketball. Take care, everybody. This is KFIG Fresno.